living beyond your capacity. And it sounds kind of imposing at first, but as we talked about when we started last week, it's not something we do in our own power. And, you know, pastors talked about that a lot. And we need to realize that, that we can live beyond our capacity if we avail ourselves of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus gave him to us for, as we'll look at today. Really a good lesson, I think, on his sanctifying mystery, ministry, not mystery. And sanctifying is one of those big words. We'll look at the definition of that and a good example. It's on page 17 in your workbook. So if you want to turn there. And the key verses this morning are out of Romans 8 and John 17 there in your book. So if you can stand, if you're able, and we'll read those verses together. We'll pray and then get into the lesson. So Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again for just the ability to gather together and look more into your word and on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, your word tells us to be holy because you are holy. So I pray as we look at this lesson today on sanctification, you would help us to be aware of the promptings of the Holy Spirit to make changes in our lives that result in our more holy living. Lord, help us to just avail ourselves of the power of the Holy Spirit that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for every day, for the help you give us every day in the indwelling of your Spirit. So, Lord, I ask a blessing on this time together. Help us to have open hearts to just garner the real great wisdom and things you have in your word for us. Ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So, in your overview there, it says, after salvation, God calls us to holy living, and the Holy Spirit desires to sanctify us or set us apart to holiness. He lives within us, giving us the power we need for the daily process of sanctification. And that's something we need to realize. It's a daily process. It's not something, unfortunately, that just doesn't happen at once. So the lesson aim is that the power of the Holy Spirit is available to each Christian for the ongoing process of living a sanctified life. As we learn to how to yield to Him, we can access the power available to us for holy living on a daily basis. So if you paid even a little bit of attention, you gather it's kind of a daily thing, amen? We just repeat it over and over. This is daily. And it's something that we can be aware of daily and should even make part of our early morning prayers or even at breakfast, just to sanctify me, Lord, today and help me to live more holy. And we'll look at some of the things to do that. On a cold and wintry December 16th, 1944, nearly 600,000 American soldiers began a five-week fight that would be the single largest and bloodiest battle of World War II, famously known as the Battle of the Bulge. It began as a secret, massive German offensive near the small country of Luxembourg, ended in victory for the Allied forces. In that fighting, American troops suffered approximately 19,000 deaths and 62,000 injuries. Almost 81,000 lives and families were affected by that one battle in World War II. Near that battle site, there's a 50-acre plot of ground known as the Luxembourg American Cemetery and Memorial, where more than 5,000 white crosses fill the landscape. Anybody here been there or seen that? Yeah. I'm sure it's very impressive. People visit from all over the world to remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. It's a beautiful place, meticulously maintained, perfectly manicured, and distinctly serene and peaceful. In contrast to the battle it memorializes, it is strikingly calm and tranquil. This is just one of 24 American cemeteries on foreign soil. Each one of those is hallowed ground where thousands of fallen soldiers are remembered. Each one is set apart. It's sanctified. Each plot of land represents the payment of American blood and stands set apart for the particular sacred purpose of honoring that sacrifice. All right, what's that? Well, you think of the shed blood and sacrifice that we have in our Lord Jesus. In much the same fashion, when the miracle of salvation occurred and the Holy Spirit indwelled your life, you were born into God's family. You became His precious, treasured child. By God's grace, He has set you apart, chosen you to live a life that pleases Him and honors the sacrifice of His blood. Just as thinking of the thousands of lives represented in that Luxembourg cemetery stirs within us a great desire to live honorable lives as Americans, even so, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ should compel us to live our lives in honor of Him. In a very practical sense, the Holy Spirit desires to make the inner work of salvation visible in our outward lifestyle, in our daily choices. He desires to change you from the inside out and use you in this life for His eternal purpose. In short, you are special. Once you belong to God, He desires to set you apart, to sanctify you, to use you by His Spirit. The biblical word sanctify means to make holy or pure, to consecrate. You see, while all our sins were paid for on the cross, we stand righteous and forgiven before God positionally. It's our position that in Him we can be free of sin and forgiven. We still wake up every day and face a struggle with sin. In this struggle, God calls us to holy living, and His Spirit desires to continually purify us. After you are saved, you are no longer who you used to be. Therefore, your Heavenly Father doesn't want you to act like you used to act. And I've said that before last week. You know, some people say, well, that's the way God made me. Well, no, God made changes in us. He changed us. Thankfully, He doesn't leave us alone in the quest for daily holiness and purity. You know, it made me think... You know, when you're raising a kid, I remember, you know, we'd give Josh some instruction, go feed the dog. And, you know, we just didn't walk away at first and expect him to feed the dog. Amen? He was a busy child. He had busy things to do. We kind of had to wait around and make sure he went and fed the dog. Well, that's kind of what the Holy Spirit is with us, to make sure we feed the dog. You know, He just doesn't give us instruction and leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit to watch us and make sure, try to make sure that we do it. Okay? His Holy Spirit lives within us, enabling us the everyday process of sanctification. In other words, the Holy Spirit doesn't stop working at salvation. His work continues every moment of every day in transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. The Christian life is too hard for us to live alone. It's beyond our capacity. It must be lived in dependency upon the Spirit, and it must be supernatural work from within. Let's more closely examine the sanctifying work. How God goes about setting us apart to the lives that are well-pleasing to Him. So Roman numeral 1, the Holy Spirit reveals our sin. First, He reveals our sin. God's Spirit knows us better than we can possibly even know ourselves. He can reveal to us things about our hearts and lives that we would never never see otherwise. If he didn't reveal it, we just might not even notice it. So letter A, the Holy Spirit searches. The Holy Spirit searches. Seeing something up close lets us examine it more clearly. You know, you think of that, even looking in a mirror, and you might see, you know, heaven forbid, a blemish, you know. So you get a little, what, you get a little close and say, oh man, I got to get rid of that, you know, before I go out this morning. You know, you want to take care of that ugly zit that's on your chin, amen? Or sometimes, you know, and they'll tell you, contracts do what? Read the fine print. You know, you get out your magnifying glass, and sometimes you have to. I have to more and more at my age, and to try to see what it's really saying. It magnifies, you know, what you're looking at. So similarly, like that, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He magnifies us. I remember I was third grade. I remember this distinctly, even from third grade, that they kind of figured out I had trouble seeing the blackboard or something. And so they took me into the optometrist, and I got glasses. And I remember coming home from getting glasses, I was telling my mother, I'm going, those trees have leaves on them. And it's the first time I could actually see individual leaves on the trees after I got some glasses. So it is clarification, you know, sometimes we see things clearer. Living with the Holy Spirit inside of us can provide the same kind of magnification and clarity experience on a spiritual level. The Holy Spirit searches the heart and reveals things we never saw before. In essence, he uncovers flaws and imperfections that we never cared about. Or maybe we just thought, they're not that bad. You know, they're better than everybody else. How many times have I used that on Kathy? You know, well, I'm better than they are. You know, you could be married to them. Doesn't seem to win that many points. But he does that, and he shows us that for the express purpose of purifying and sanctifying our hearts and lives. He wants to search out and show us these things so we can get better and be more like him. And they're in your book, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit of God knows a whole lot more than we do. We can only know what other men know, or what other men might tell us, or what we think, but the Spirit has a lot more knowledge and depth, especially spiritually, on what's going on and what we need to work on. We should daily ask the Holy Spirit of God to search our hearts and reveal to us that which would keep us from living sanctified or set apart lives for his honor and glory. May we say with the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's Psalm 139, 23 and 4. See, I'm just begging God to search out our hearts and lead us in the correct way. Letter B, the Holy Spirit convicts. Once he searches it out and shows us that, what happens? A lot of it, we get convicted, man, or we should. The Holy Spirit does that. As we saw in the previous lesson, one of the Holy Spirit's primary ministries is to reprove, or to correct, or to convict, to refute. Generally, with a suggestion of shame on the person convicted. You know, sometimes we're a little ashamed, amen, of what we do. It's just, you know, or again, we should. If we don't feel any shame, there might be a bigger problem going on. It means to bring to the light, to expose, to find fault, and to correct. And just as the Holy Spirit convicted us of our need of a Savior, his convicting work goes on every day in our hearts. When allowed to freely work in our hearts, the Holy Spirit will prick our consciences every time we do something wrong. You know, and sometimes we we have that conscience, but we can ignore it and all. But if the Holy Spirit's working on us, we need to pay more attention. He's more likely to do it. I think our conscience becomes more alive because we have the Holy Spirit guiding that. Conviction, I like this, is a privilege. Think about, you know, that says God and the Holy Spirit care about us is why he convicts us. It's a privilege to be convicted. Might not feel good, but if we realize and treat it as, thank you, Lord, for convicting me of this, because it is a privilege that he does that. It is none other than the voice of the Holy Spirit compelling us to turn from sin and make our hearts right with our Heavenly Father. Conviction means that God is working on us. It's not uncommon to hear about people attending a church service or a Sunday school class and wondering how the preacher or teacher knows all about their sin. Anybody else here besides me feel preached at? I do almost every Sunday. I go, you know. And I think, yeah, maybe it's because he's my son. He sees me, you know, all that dark stuff going on. But sometimes we get in trouble for that, right, preacher? Because, you know, or you blame your spouse. You told the pastor about me, you know. And really, we really don't know that much. In fact, as Pastor shared, the ones we kind of might think about when we're preparing the lesson, they're the ones that never show up, you know. So-and-so could really, I hope they're there today. Sure enough, they're not, you know. So that's how more likely we think. We're not really thinking of everybody. But it's good if you get that message in your heart. Wow, he's talking to me today. I know I appreciate so much when people say, boy, that lesson was for me today. You know, and that would have been the farthest thing from my mind preparing the lesson. And I know the pastor experiences that a lot, so, you know. And it's just such a joy. But God's word can do that because of the Holy Spirit. He's in there, and you give it the ears, maybe the fertile soil in your heart, and the Holy Spirit uses it then to hopefully bear some more fruit out of that. It would be impossible for a teacher or preacher to make personal application for every listener. You know, but the Holy Spirit does exactly that. He can say, what, you know, I think I have it later, but it's just, you know, during connect groups, pastor does a little 20-minute thing Wednesday night. And then we sit around the table and say, what's that mean to you? We, like, 8 people at the table, and everyone got something a little different out of that. It spoke to each one something a little different or something a little special just for them. That's the Holy Spirit doing that. You know, pastor, as good as he is, didn't know what each one of us was going to react to that message. You know, and that's just a quick little one Wednesday night. Sunday mornings, my goodness, you know, I might have 3 or 4 things that he beats me up on, you know. And other people might have 1, other people might have all dozen, you know, and that's okay. And it's just not, if you feel picked on, that means God's love you, you know, really. And obviously the pastor loves us. So conviction is a gift. It's the Holy Spirit of God warning us away from a path that will ultimately hurt us. It is God's early warning system and protection in our lives after salvation. And that's a good thought, too. Some of the things that he warns us about are for our own good. Everything for our own good. That's good to know. From the earliest moments of your Christian walk throughout the rest of your life, you must make a daily decision about how to handle the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We need to decide every day what we're going to do with whatever's going on. You will either respond to it or reject it, surrender to it or silence it. Many hardened their hearts, resist the conviction, and eventually come to a place of being past sensitivity. In other words, they're so used to shutting it down, they quit even getting the little pang of conscience because you're just so used to denying it. The Bible refers to this hardness of heart as a seared conscience. There in your book, 1 Timothy 4:2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, and you just picture, you know, throwing that nice steak on the barbecue, you know, and you put it on the extra high, and it sears it, right? It kind of seals it off so the juices stay inside, which is good for a steak. It's not good for our spirit to do that, to sear it so that we keep everything in and don't let it work on us. when it comes to sin, you can't simply adhere to the age-old advice, follow your conscience. The problem with that advice is most people follow a conscience like someone following a wheelbarrow. In other words, you take the wheelbarrow, but you're steering it where you want it to go. Okay? And we'll do that with our conscience. Something might get us, but we kind of steer it over here and do this thing with it. Or maybe we go back the other way instead of letting the Holy Spirit guide us along. We want to be in control of what we're doing and what our thoughts are. But you must instead endeavor to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God as He reveals your sin to you. Every time you respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction, you invite Him to continue working in your life. In other words, giving in to Him, that's another invitation. Okay, Lord, let's tackle the next thing. And He wants to do that. He wants to continue transforming you. But every time you resist or reject that conviction, your heart becomes calloused and less able to hear Him. Don't go down that road. Don't ever get to the place in life where you stop desiring and appreciating the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart. If you feel like you're getting callous towards that, you need to back up and pray that God would help you open your heart to Him and His conviction. Letter C, the Holy Spirit teaches. In John 14, Jesus was about to be crucified, and He was preparing His disciples for not only the crucifixion, but also His resurrection and His ascension to heaven. He was preparing them to continue on, though He would not physically be with them. Understandably, this was hard for them to grasp. You know, when we've talked about that, you know, He's kind of like, well, He told them what was going to happen, but they didn't get it. And you go, no, how come they didn't get it? Well, they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. And some of that stuff was just hard to understand. It's why people that aren't saved, they read the Bible, they don't get it. But if they are saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, He helps them to understand. And obviously, their understanding increased infinitely. All of a sudden, they were out doing the same thing Jesus does and getting treated like He did. But they now had the power of the Holy Spirit to survive all that. Instead of running and hiding, the Holy Spirit imbued them with power and the knowledge and the understanding of everything Jesus had told them prior. Throughout the chapter, Jesus tells them that God will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be with them after He departs. John 14:26 in your book. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. In the subsequent chapter, Jesus actually says it is expedient or better, more beneficial for Him to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. Go, wow, you know, what can be better than Jesus being with us? Well, it's the Holy Spirit come. Why? Because He was limited location. And we talked about how He had to go to other cities, you know. But the Holy Spirit is with us all, everywhere we go, all the time. That is quite a benefit. John 16:7, there in your book. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Wow. Much more personal than Him just being there with us in the room or the meeting or whatever. You know, the Holy Spirit with each of us individually. Jesus talked about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit on more than one occasion during His earthly ministry, John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. Great promises of what the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to us. Many years later, the Apostle John wrote of this same truth, 1 John 2:27 there. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. In other words, you know, you can We got great teaching, and that's good teaching, and all that's good stuff. There's nothing wrong with some good teaching, amen? But sometimes, and the pastor I'm sure will guarantee, sometimes our teaching falls on deaf ears. You know, sometimes, yeah, we hear it, but we don't want to listen to it. But the Holy Spirit, when they come and live with us, and then it convicts us, so now it seems like our ears are open. You know, and we'll see, boy, what's different with you today? Well, the Holy Spirit opened my ears and my heart to receive the good teaching. And so that so it's, that's the math. But His Word teaches us all the time. So being, you know, you can learn a lot just from your Bible. But it's good to have both. Both hearing and reading is an important part of learning. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. It is His responsibility to help you understand God's Word. And since He is searching you and convicting you, He knows exactly how to take the Word of God and perfectly apply it to your heart in ways that no human being ever could. Again, He knows specifically for us what we can get out of His Word or His message, and it might be totally different than what I get out of it than you get out of it. Praise God. Or so many times the same passage, I've seen a passage 5 years ago and think, oh, that's really neat, I get that. And all of a sudden the pastor opens that and I'm thinking, okay, he's going to tell me again. But it's not. It's a whole new thought, a whole new revelation of what God's teaching us out of the very same passage. The Bible's so wonderful in that. It's just the depth of it and the stuff we can get out of it is incredible. And just depending on our walk and our stage and our Christian walk, how we can get different stuff out of the same thing, or it's just different people, different things. Only the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can do that. So, Roman numeral 2, the Holy Spirit enables our sanctification. Enables. And by letter A, the Holy Spirit reminds. We just read some verses on that, that the Holy Spirit reminds us in an effort to enable us. Again, John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, consider." I said unto you. So consider that phrase, brings all things to your remembrance. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a situation, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will just give me the right verse or the right words to say. I might not be able to give the exact number, but I can say, oh, the Bible says this, and reassure somebody. You know, it's a wonderful gift that the Holy Spirit will do that and just bring to our minds what we need when we need it. Make Josh the subject of this. As a young child, he had a starring role, of course, in a church play. And he concentrated with all his might. But he was stuck. He couldn't remember his next line. His mom, Kathy, seated in the front row with the script in hand, silently mouthed his next words to him to help him remember. After several times, he finally got it and blurted out triumphantly, "My mom is the light of the world." Which, the last part's true, but I don't think Josh ever forgot a line in his life. But that's, you know. But in the same way that his mother tried to remind her son, the Holy Spirit is our heavenly reminder. He prompts us to remember truth and to do right. He prompts us to do that correctly. His mission is to lead us moment by moment in the daily details of our life, always applying the principles of Scripture to our present circumstances. But guess what? I thought, you know, well, in order to remember, one of two things, or maybe both, had to happen. One, we either had to read it or hear it, what the truth was, to help us remember. Sometimes He might give us a good, fresh thought, but usually, to remember, it's something we've had to experience. And I think it's so important then that we come to church and we hear good teaching and good preaching so that we can remember it when we need it. Now, the Holy Spirit will use that. When we are facing a tough decision, He will recall principles that apply. When we need wisdom and insight, He will remind us of biblical truths that will guide our steps. Since part of His work in our lives is to remind, it is vital that we obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. It's a simple challenge, but it's easier said than done. Every day of our lives, the Holy Spirit of God desires to prompt us and remind us of the little right things we should do along the way. One of those, the little habits that we talked about in the sermons. It may be loving a spouse, nurturing children, sharing Christ with a co-worker, or helping a neighbor. It may be encouraging the pastor, caring for a Christian, sending a note of gratitude to a friend. But regardless of what it is, the Holy Spirit will seek to remind us to apply truth to every situation and honor God in every daily decision. You know, and I just know so many here, you know, we just, oh, I just got, you know, God wanted me to send you a note or tell you thank you or give you a phone call. And, you know, and it's always so rewarding, isn't it, when you do that and they say, oh, that's just what I needed to hear today. And, you know, we need to pay more attention to the Holy Ghost prompting us in doing that and reaching out to others. Letter B, the Holy Spirit enlightens. Enlightens. We all have blind spots, things we can't see about the circumstances that we face or things, our behavior. We all have paradigms that cause our perspective to skew one direction over another. And we've all faced moments when we just didn't know what we needed to know. You know, we need to know something. We just, a good friend of mine and client, he kind of made a phrase famous. I liked it. Pigs don't know pigs stink. And I thought, you know, that's just so true. You know, the pigs don't mind how bad that pig pen is. And I thought, well, sheep are the same way. I almost, you know, you go into the sheep barn or something at the fair, I don't particularly enjoy the odor in the sheep barn, right? But the sheep don't know that the sheep stink. Hello? You know, we're just a bunch of sheep. And maybe the other sheep don't even know what's wrong with us, or that we all stink, or especially that I stink, you know? But the Holy Spirit does, and He can convict us of that and show us that we must, there might be something there we need to clean up. God has many ways of dealing with such limitations: His Word, godly counsel, prayer, etc. And one of them is His Holy Spirit. The Spirit's job is to enlighten us, to reveal to us what we need to know that we didn't know before. It's His ministry to show us the things that everybody else misses. You know, if we just had somebody that could tell us everything, well, then we wouldn't need God. But not everybody can do that. And we probably wouldn't take it well if somebody did try to do that. But we need to take it well from the Holy Spirit and respond to Him. To the undiscerning viewer, people who hear and listen to the Holy Spirit often just appear to be lucky. You know, I remember, you know, we used to hear quite a bit, well, you're lucky, you got good kids. You know, and Kathy and I frankly took a little exception to that. That luck seemed like an awful lot of hard work. You know, and it's the same way in the Christian life. Well, you're just lucky. Well, it's because we're just trying to be more and more in touch and respond to the Holy Spirit and His correction on what He's doing. They seem to see risk or danger before others see it. They understand things and connect dots that others entirely miss. In reality, the Holy Spirit is not a good luck charm or some mystical power, but He's a very practical and unassuming way He can strengthen us and guide us. He turns the lights on for us and brings us into those aha moments. Think about this verse again. And this light, there in your book, John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. Wow. Amen. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He will give us discernment and wisdom. He applies truth specifically in the moments we are facing and guides us regarding what we should do. What a wonderful helper. And that's what He wants to be, is our helper. Letter C, the Holy Spirit produces growth. Produces growth. And I want to add there that He produces fruit. since we're talking about being fruitful, and that's our theme, and it just, as you'll see, fits these verses. The Holy Spirit produces growth or fruit. We'll examine these traits more closely in future lesson, but as part of the sanctifying ministry, the Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit that grows in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 3, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is where the personal life change produced by the Holy Spirit becomes visible and evident in our lives. This is what will cause others around us to pause and say, something's different about you. I've always taken it as a compliment as being weird. Who wants to be normal, especially in today's world? You know, it's okay to be a little, and especially in regards of the Holy Spirit. We should be different. There should be something different about us. The Holy Spirit desires to cultivate good qualities in your heart that show up in your life, in your relationships, and in your daily walk. Letter D, the Holy Spirit produces holiness. Holiness. This one can be a little trickier. Holiness is something that many Christians couldn't care less about. You know, they just think it's enough. You know, don't need to be holy. And it's not a word we use often in our modern vernacular. Many people think of holiness in a terms of arrogance or piety, holier than thou. It almost became, it has become a slam on us, you know, an insult. Others associate it with charismatic energy or energy and sensationalism. Well, they're a holy roller, you know. And so these terms have kind of been absconded with by Satan to convert them in something not. Because it is neither. It's a practical word we should embrace as Christians. We should try to be holy, for he is holy. It's okay. It's more than okay. It should be desired to be holy. It's something we should strive for. And, not something that, like I say, happens immediately, unfortunately. We try to do that our whole lives, and we should. A 19th century Scottish minister, Robert Murray McChang, wrote these words to Dan Edwards, a young missionary about to go to the field. In great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talent God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. Wow. That's what makes him a weapon, is being holy unto God. Holiness is simply purity from sin. It is the defining attribute of God, and it is his ultimate goal for every one of his children. He desires for you to be not only saved from the penalty of sin, but also pure from the presence of sin in your daily life. Yes, he's washed us, he's forgiven, we're not shown that way, but we should strive to earn that as well. And not that we can earn our way to heaven, but just to that holiness that he's ascribed to us. In his honor, we should try to live that way. This is the pinnacle work of his sanctifying ministry, to lead you away from practicing sin on a daily basis. The result of the work of the Holy Spirit in you will be that you are aware of sin, you deal with sin, and you like to avoid sin. This doesn't mean you'll never sin. I wish it did. But it does mean you will sin less and respond biblically before God when you do. And we'll examine that in more detail in future lesson. But look at these verses now, Ephesians 5, 8, and 9 there. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know I've had, I took that lesson to heart a lot. You know, if you just, you know, picture Jesus not only inside you, sitting next to you, Would you be looking at that TV show? Would you be looking at that magazine or reading that book or online if Jesus was right there? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit's right there. And we just need to be aware of that fact. You start thinking that way, and it's amazing how more sanctified you become and get a little separate from what the world is throwing at us. On a practical level, the Holy Spirit will always create a more holy lifestyle. He will guide you into right choices and relationships and away from harmful entertainment and practices. He will help you to be an effective steward in every area of your life. So in conclusion, it's a long conclusion. Oh, I got lots of time. Good. Have you ever tried to change yourself? You know, the pastor's talked about that some, you know. You begin the year maybe with a full list of resolutions. I've told you how I'd ever like those because I usually break them by the 5th of January, you know. And let's face it, whether it's a deep spiritual issue of anger or character, greed or lust, or more basic habits of daily personal discipline, just as the pastor has been preaching, that we have trouble doing things in our own power. Our best efforts usually end in failure and frustration. And for too many, the Christian life is no different. Too many Christians fall into the trap of self-effort. They begin the Christian life by faith in Christ, but then they assume the responsibility of self-change. Well, I can do it myself, and maybe I need to do it myself. And that's not necessarily an evil thought that I need to do this, but if that's all we try to do and do it in our own power, we're not going to be able to do it. We're just not able. This is always a failing proposition. Paul addressed that very same problem with the Galatians. There in your book, Galatians 3:3. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, we give him credit for bringing us the faith and the faith to believing him. And then he's saying, are you so foolish? Now you're just going to go do it on your own? Why get rid of the guy that brought us along and brought us salvation and shove him down in the dark corner? He wants to stay with us and help us through our entire life. These new Christians had fallen into that trap of self-effort. What began at salvation as a work of the Spirit, they tried to continue in their own strength and their own power. The sanctifying ministry of the Holy Spirit is phenomenal, but we must avail ourselves of his power if we're truly to see change and growth in our lives. His is a life-transforming ministry in every way, but it is vital for us to remember it's a lifelong work. It's lifelong. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wow. Even there, he's saying, don't do it on your own. He began it, he'll continue it and perform it until he comes back for us. God began a good work in you by his Spirit, but that work isn't completed overnight. How long will it take? It will take the rest of your life. Take the rest of our life. And praise God for that, really. You know, kind of, we get impatient and we want to do better and we can get frustrated, but it ought to drive us closer to him, not further away. Not further away. Frankly, the process can be frustrating at times. It's easy to wish that we could speed up the work of God's Holy Spirit. We want to be more mature, more gracious, more holy right now. It's so easy to become impatient with God's internal work of grace. But Philippians 1:6 tells us to live confidently because God's work is progressing in us every day, whether or not we feel it right now. You will be tempted to lose sight of the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work. You will tend to forget that your heart, like the Luxembourg Memorial, is sacred ground for God's grace. You'll be tempted to resist the work of the Holy Spirit and to remain in a life of sin and fleshly living, in spite of the fact that you are saved. We all face those temptations to different levels at different times. It's just the work of Satan in this world. But don't fall into that trap. You are God's child. You are special. And God desires to do a great work in and through you. Live every moment in light of the sanctifying ministry that the Holy Spirit is performing in you. And thank God every day that you are not alone in figuring out life and trying to live the Christian life. Thank God that He sent His Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us in that. Be ever mindful of the fact that you are His masterpiece in progress. He's not finished with us. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again just for this time together and looking at some challenging words this morning, Lord, as your sanctification, setting us apart to do your work and to be set apart for you, even as we participate in the world and try to win others to you. You're not asking us to withdraw from that, but you're asking us to just be open to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came and into each one of us and that you desire that relationship to be our teacher and our guide and our comforter and all the things that you bring us. We are so thankful to you, Holy Spirit. Just pray that we would each be more open and more available for your prompting and correction and teaching. So we ask all this, and we ask a blessing on the service to come. Be with the pastor. He again brings us more of your word on how to be fruitful and to grow in you. Thank you for what you're doing here. And we just ask all these things in the Lord's precious and wonderful name. Amen.